Going to talk about a little subject tonight that I think at one time in our life, and maybe even currently, all of us deal with it. And that's fear. Kind of got a little bit more of an insight into fear. Just actually something I heard in a song. And when I heard it, I realized that's the truth. That's it. So I thought, all right, God, this is what we're going to talk about tonight. And I don't know, might do it a couple times throughout the year, because I know a lot of people deal with fear. If I could ask everybody to raise your hand if you've dealt with a fear, just it doesn't matter what it is. It could be overcoming the fear of driving a car. You know, there are a lot of people that, I've got an aunt who still will not drive. She's 68 years old and will not drive. Relies on everybody else to pick her up and take her someplace. She lives on top of a mountain. So that means they got to come up and get her. But fear is not God's will for us. And that's the first thing we need to start learning, is that fear is not from God. So before we get going, I do want to pray. Because once I get rolling, I'll either blow through my 3 pages of notes in 10 minutes or take my time. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you for a beautiful day, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the many things that have been accomplished here through the many people who are represented in this body. And Lord, I pray tonight that you open our ears, open our hearts, Father, to receive the word, to gain this valuable, valuable information that can set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Get past that. Fear. In the Bible, the word fear is the word phobos in the Greek, and it means to put to flight, something that makes you want to run. So when I talk about fear, that's what I'm talking about. Okay? I'm talking about something that makes you want to go the other way. I don't care if it's a fear of walking through double doors. People have got some insane fears, to be honest with you. I was just standing back here thinking about it, and the reason we do is we've created them. We've created all these fears that people have. I realized this one day. You know, all of the superstitions that have been developed. Don't walk under a ladder, right? You've heard it. Don't walk under a ladder. You'll have bad luck. Don't break a mirror. You'll have 7 years bad luck. Where did that come from? Well, the ladder, it probably came from a foreman on a job who had idiots dropping hammers from the ladders. They didn't have tool pouches like they do now. So you drop a ladder from a hammer from a ladder and somebody's walking underneath it. Guess who's getting brained? Okay? Well, where did breaking the mirror come from? A furniture guy who was paying people to deliver mirrors, and he finally had to figure a way out to get them to keep from dropping them. You'll have 7 years of bad luck. So they wouldn't drop them for fear of bad luck. So we got people living with these insane fears. Black cats. Well, that probably came from a cat hater. Who knows? I don't know. But that's where most of this stuff has come from. It's not because there's any real truth in it. It was something we created to control people, okay? And that's all fear does. Fear controls you, no matter what it is. My fear of the dark kept me from actually enjoying some great things. Before I had ever watched that vampire movie, I used to sit outside with a telescope. We lived out in the sticks, and I'll tell you what, you could see all kinds of stars. I could see the moon, all the craters, and zoom up into that we had a house up the road. It was empty, but we swore up and down it was haunted. And there was always a light in the basement. There was no power lines going to the house, but there was a light. I'm always trying to see the ghost that was in that house. At nighttime, man, I did not want to go by that house in a car or nothing. And found out it was actually the security light reflecting off of the farm next to it. But those fears are things that make us want to run, make us want to hide and get away from it. So where do fears come from? They come from watching vampire movies, Pastor. Nope. Sorry. The fear did not come from there. I know I just blew. One, they come from personality traits. Justin's insane fear of the deep water. He could find swimming in the shallower, but he didn't want to go into deeper. Jesse used to scream bloody murder. You can ask Angela. The terror in his eyes when he was, what, about 6 months old? 6 months to 18 months? Somewhere. He was a toddler. That's what, because she's like, here, would you give him a bath real quick? So she'd jump in, throw him in the shower with me, and I'd hold him and get him all cleaned up, and he screamed. I've never seen such terror in anybody's eyes. That kid was the first one to jump off the diving board. He got over it, but where did he get that from? Nobody knows. So somewhere along the line. How about fear of snakes? My wife's family, it runs on both sides. They hate snakes. Doesn't matter if it's a little garter snake, a little rat snake, they're going to kill it. Me? Yes. Yes. Exactly. But there was a time in life, folks, she would have killed it. I mean, it did not matter. Her grandfather had such a fear of snakes that if he knew one was around his pond or on the property, he'd go get the shotgun and he'd empty the thing into the hole that it would just went into. That's how bad it really was. But the truth of the matter is the snake's not hurting anybody. Well, it's 6 feet long. That's all the rats he's eaten. That's why we have rat and mice problems today, because of all the garter snakes and black snakes that have been killed. I'm not just slamming her family. I mean, I killed my fair share, but that was not out of fear. That was in the pursuit of being male. Again, the personality traits, the family traits. How about learned behavior? We just watch somebody do something over and over and never figure out. Never. And finally, someday we ask them, why do you do that? Well, find out it was a fear they had and we weren't afraid of it, but yet we did the exact same thing. So fears come from learned behaviors. Experiences. Accidents. Things that happen. Maybe you got into some electricity doing something one time. So now you're afraid, which I'll be honest with you, I have made lots of money on people's fears. Because they were either afraid of getting on their roof or afraid of getting shocked. I did something for somebody the other day and she said, do you want me to turn the power off? I said, no, the light switch is off. As long as you don't turn it on, I'm okay. And she said, oh, but I'm just so afraid. I said, just go in the kitchen then. I said, it's not going to hurt me. I said, 120 just tingles for a little bit. Observance, which is our learned behavior. Bad relationships. Oh, I just can't go talk to... I don't want to be friends with anybody. Why? Guaranteed they got hurt by a friend. Or things that went wrong in general. So those are some of the things that how we obtain it. Or I should say, not necessarily obtain it. Things that trigger it, solidify it, or reasons that we use for fear. My fear of the dark had no backing, okay? So it was not in, you got to understand, the vampire movie was not my first horror movie. I watched The Man with Two Heads, The Incredible Hulk, all of those. Dr. Frankenstein. I watched movies. Mom and Dad thought I was asleep in the back of the car during at the drive-in. They didn't bother me. That one, for some reason, and only that part bothered me. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, or 18. And as you turn there, I'm going to put my extra set of eyeballs on. It says, There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Again, the word perfect is mature. I really wish they would actually change that. It means mature, because in our language, perfect means there's no flaws. Mature means that it is grown up, that it's producing fruit, okay? There is no fear in love. The thing that triggered my thoughts and my runnings was a song I heard today. And the song was actually written by a group of men who would know what fear is. It was written by Marines, combat veterans. And they said something. They mentioned fear, and they called it the devil inside. I've heard that term before, that fear is the devil inside of every last one of us. This gives a better picture of where fear actually comes from. Because see, what she's afraid of, I'm not. I have no problem with snakes, unless they've got teeth. And then I'm going to kill them. That's all there is to it. You bite me, you die. That's my philosophy for animals. Or if I bite you first, who knows? But the fear actually is inside of us. Because remember what I just said. What did John say? Perfect, mature love casts out fear. So where's fear at? Fear is in. And mature love actually has to drive it out. Things around us only stir that fear. The fear of the dark was inside of me. The thing that triggered it was watching that vampire movie and that little boy being turned into a vampire because he was my age. That is what triggered it. Like I said, I had seen all kinds of slasher movies and zombie movies and things of that nature before, and they never affected me. But that movie, and it was played on television, that one affected me. It instilled that fear. And in times past, I've watched movies. Angela told me of a movie one time. She said, this was the most, terrifying movie we've ever seen, her and her friend, The Believers. Oh, you never watched it? Well, she had heard. She said, her friend had said it was the most scary movie she'd ever saw. I'm thinking, cool. I watched it. Didn't affect me one bit. Pastor, how do you know? Because the whole time I'm sitting there thinking, first off, you need to be pulling out the name of Jesus and whooping down on these demons. See, I was no longer full of the fear. Had I held on to that fear of the dark, I promise you that movie would have done more damage. But because love was able to mature, I was able to drive out that fear of the dark. Well, Pastor, love has nothing to do with driving out your fear of the dark. It has everything to do with it. Even though love, and you can find out what love is in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. All of that stuff, that is what starts driving it out. It makes no sense why something that is patient, kind, believes the best, hopes the best, doesn't behave rudely, isn't puffed up, how that can drive the fear out of a young man of the dark. Okay? So the fear is actually inside of us. Fear is a lack of a maturity of love. That's what the second half of that verse said. Let me read it again. But he who fears has not been made mature in love. Well, Pastor, I've still got some fears. You've still got some maturing to do. Rejoice. Everybody really does. It doesn't matter what it is. Everybody has a fear of something. And love is only made mature in you when you can face the fear. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But fear is something that we usually harbor. You know how I know we harbor it? Because we don't want to address the issue. We don't want to face the dark. We don't want to face the dog. We don't want to face what might be in the closet. We heard something move. You do realize that things shift because of weight, and they can only hold so long. It's a law of physics. You put something in goofy positions, it's going to fall. Now, one night I was slept over at my grandma's house. It's the last time I ever slept at her house. And I think it was right around the, I know it was, because I was able to fit in the baby bed. Because I went out of that room and got in the baby bed with my uncle. They put me in a room by myself, never before. I had been watching that movie. And I'm laying in the bed, and my uncle's guitar played. It strummed. Well, I can promise you, I did not sleep for more than a couple minutes the rest of the night. I went and sat up, never heard it again. They found me in my uncle's bed. It had been cut down, so it was like a toddler's bed. He was a toddler at the time, maybe four. So, like I said, I would have been 10 and about yay tall, so it wasn't that big of a stretch. They asked me why I was in there, and I told them, I heard the guitar play last night. Didn't even go in and look. A mouse went across that, does it all the time. Folks, I went in there and opened that closet door in broad daylight. The guitar was standing straight up. A mouse running across it would have slid down it, and I know that sound because that's one sound that I can play. But this was a strum, a melodic strum. No mouse played that. That was the last time I stayed at my grandmother's house. But I had to start developing some mature love. Not that I hated my grandma, not that I hated anybody else. It had nothing to do with that. There are some people just refuse to address. Some say they're using wisdom. I don't do that because I don't think it's wise. What, you just watched 500 people do the same thing and nobody got hurt. It's just not wisdom. How about we call it what it is? You're afraid. It's not wise to ride a motorcycle. You do understand the laws of physics are actually on your side, providing you obey the laws of physics. They are on your side. Well, so many people get killed on motorcycles. Folks, more people get killed walking across the street than they do on motorcycles. It's just as dangerous to breathe the air. Well, I'm not going to fly. If God meant for me to fly, He'd have put wings on me. No, that's why He gave the Wright brothers a great idea, so that man could fly. Again, as long as you don't violate the laws of thrust, you're good. And again, more people die in car accidents every day than get killed in airplanes around the world. So it's actually a fear. Well, they didn't have a fear of flying back in Jesus' day. They didn't have airplanes. But they always dreamed of flying. Wisdom is one thing. Hiding behind a false sense of wisdom is another. I think it's just wise not to do that. I think it's wise not to have a gun in my house. Well, that's your prerogative. My prerogative is to have as many as I can. Well, you live in fear, Pastor. No, I don't live in fear. If I lived in fear, I'd live in the woods in a cave. I boldly walk up and down the streets at night. I went for a walk the other night. I think it was last Sunday night, wasn't it? Or the Sunday before. Told Angela, I said, it dawned on me as I'm walking around, I probably should at least have a flashlight or something, because I went down streets that there were no lights on, down alleys. And if you understand what I've shared with you earlier, I wouldn't have done that quite a few years ago now. I wouldn't have done that. War is dangerous. People will die. It's a guarantee. Wisdom should be exercised when waging war. It's what Proverbs tells us. By counsel of many is war waged. It means use wisdom. Wisdom does not prevent us from interacting with these things that may harm us. Because in reality, driving a car is dangerous. Today, breathing the air is dangerous, but it hasn't stopped any of us from breathing yet. But it still tells us how to interact and stay alive. Pastor, you know, you talk about that, and I know you ride your bike without your helmet. You're right. And I've told God anytime he thought I needed to put it on to tell me, and there were times I put my helmet on. You can ask my wife, but I refuse to live in fear about not wearing a helmet. Because what the statistics don't tell, or the people throwing the statistics who don't ride motorcycles and trying to get you to wear one, just as many people are killed wearing the helmet as they are without them. So all these people living in fear about motorcycles aren't enjoying life. How many people are bound up living in their little hovel of a home because they're afraid to step outside? Afraid to meet new people? Because there's a fear inside of them. And it didn't get put there by watching a scary movie. There's some people that can watch, I watch war movies and they never have. Never have. I've always loved war movies, actually. But then there are other people, they just terrify them. Those are the people that should not be in war. That's just the way it is. We as a church are afraid of the devil. The reason being, we've created an image of him in our minds. I think Isaiah put it the best. He said, when the world sees you, they're going to say, are you the one? Seriously, are you the one who rocked the nations? You're the one we were afraid of. But you see what the church has created. You got to understand this, folks. The church created the image of Satan, not Satanists, not the world. The church did. The church did it to try to control people, to try to force them to love God. You cannot force people to love God. I've tried. It don't work. Just like you can't force another person to love you, you can't force people to love God. They've got to come to the revelation that God loves them, because that's the next verse in chapter 4 of 1 John. We love him because he first loved us. But we created this image of Satan being a goat's head, muscles abounding, claws and fangs dripping with blood. Well, Pastor, it's right in the book of Revelation, the great dragon. How about we try using the imagery that prophecy was supposed to be using? God gave that vision to John and used the dragon to represent Satan for us to understand his personality, his characteristics, what he was like. Dragons were not to be trusted in medieval world. You did not trust a dragon because supposedly they talked. They always had their own agenda. They thought they were better than you. And they struck fear in people. I mean, come on, it's a giant lizard flying and breathing fire. But the truth of the matter is, we struggle to believe that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Let me tell you what that scripture is actually saying. That would mean for us to fear he who is greater. And by the way, that word does mean to tremble. It means to literally shake. Jesus said, you fear he who kills the body, but you should fear him who can kill your body and damn your soul to hell. We fear as a church, I'm not saying this church, as a church, the devil more than we fear God. And that should not be so. That's why people don't, they won't say anything. They won't do what they're supposed to do. Because they fear what the world, listen, the devil is not a roaring lion. I came across this on a blog the other day and I just wanted to reach in if I could have and just lightly slap whoever wrote it. The devil is a roaring lion. It does not say he is a roaring lion. It says he roams about as a roaring lion. There is only one equivalent of a lion in the Bible, and that is Jesus, other than the visions of Daniel. Jesus is the only one who's referred to as the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the only one. And yet we fear the one who pretends to be a lion instead of the one who is a lion. Wisdom would say that we should be shaking in our boots. So why do we not shake and tremble in fear? Remember what I told you about God and love? Let me read this to you again. There is no fear in God, but maturity in God casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in God. There is no fear in God. That's why we don't. But we don't honor him. My children will fail many times. I know it. Been there. I think we've all been, can attest to that fact. But the greatest thing they can do is to get back up and charge back in. Or figure a way around to overcome this thing. But not to lay down and hide from something. The guy hiding in the foxhole is not doing any good. You can ask Pat. He's a Vietnam vet. He volunteered to go, had a draft card, but he volunteered to go in. But you can ask him, the majority, and well, I was going to say the majority, but I've come to find out the majority of Congressional Medal of Honor winners were draftees. But unfortunately, so were the ones who went AWOL. Today's military is a first in the world. It's all volunteer. Some people think it's not working. I think it is. I think we should tighten the reins a little bit. But they do it because they want to. You can't ask somebody who's afraid to fight to go do it. They've got to overcome it. You need to overcome that before you get into the hole. Getting in the hole is not where you have the revelation all the time. Sometimes some people do work out that way. Other people, especially if he's in on the other side of your foxhole, you want to know that he's not going to just lay down here and suck his thumb when the enemy's coming over the hill. They've got to mature. And that's what God's been trying to get us to do, is to mature in him. Our fears are actually something to be faced head on. I was sharing with Kyle last night. We went and saw them and Nicholas Paul. And he's tiny, tiny little guy. I'm like, told Angie, I said, I mean, he's 8 pounds. He was heavier than the last two. But it's hard to fathom anymore that my children were ever this big, you know. I mean, they eat 8 pounds in one sitting sometimes. And here I'm holding his little baby. But anyhow, I'm looking at some of Kyle's pictures and stuff, and we were talking boot camp experiences, and I was telling him about a time I've mentioned it where we were running an obstacle course, and it was in the rain, and we had to run across a ditch on a telephone pole that had been run across hundreds, perhaps thousands of times. It was smooth, and it's wet now, and it's over a 5-foot ditch. And I grew up in the country. I walked on wet trees before, on logs. I mean, that's how we usually crossed creeks and, you know, in the occasional ravine, if we caught one that was just right. And I know what happens when wood gets wet and you run across it. You lose grip and you're coming off. I did not want to. So I got up there. I went, charge, and I get up, and here's this 8-inch wide telephone pole, and I got across it, and I'm doing this. And I've got this no-neck behemoth in front of me. I kid you not. His shoulders were like this. He's about yay tall. Later found out he's a recon Marine. That was a little concerning to me. They're nuts. And he's standing at the other end yelling at me to run. Nothing I could do could make my legs move any faster. I got to the other side and he grabbed me and he said, "You go do it again." He made me face that fear head on. I'm like, well, I've already learned, don't let him know your name. So I had to stay below. I did not want to get on his radar. So this time I ran across it, faced my fear, and guess what? I didn't get hurt. He actually knew something. He knew what he was talking about. But you see, I was trying to protect my legs, my knees, and anything else that might be in that region. I did not want to fall. I wanted to just get across safely. Because it's not wise to run across a wet telephone. No, it's not. But if you're being shot at, wisdom says, forget that. Jump the thing. Run as fast as you can. Psalm 23:4. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why would a shadow, a harmless shadow, cause fear? Because somewhere in David's history, a shadow resulted in an attack. He saw something but didn't pay attention to it and got jumped. It was an experience. He is now walking in a shadow. This is all metaphorically is what he's saying. He's walking in a shadow where at this point his friends are betraying him and they're trying to kill him. And even though there's a shadow that should normally be friendly and harmless, because of his past experience, it invoked fear. The Bible doesn't say it was an enemy combatant waiting to jump him. It doesn't say that it was a lion or a bear or a giant. It was a shadow. A harmless shadow. So why did it invoke that fear? Why does it invoke fear in us? When we start seeing a situation coming, like, oh, I've been down it. Because of that experience. Why do people stay out of church? Because of a bad experience. Is that an excuse? It's an excuse. It's what they use, exactly. But is God going to buy it? No, he's not. He's not going to buy it when he's saying, why didn't you overcome that fear? I told you where to go, where you would get help, where you would be loved, but you wouldn't do it. The truth is all who are evil should fear us. We should be the one casting the shadow. Pastor, I don't know about that, the people fearing us. I ain't talking about the people. I'm talking about the devil inside. Because that's what this song talked about. It said, I'll feed the fear of the devil inside of you. I'm going to tell you I'm coming after you. Remember in the book of Acts, these seven young men, the seven sons of Sceva, they heard the Apostle Paul preaching, and he was praying for people, casting out demons and healing the sick. And they walked up to a man they knew was possessed. Today we call it mental illness. While I do believe that there is mental illnesses, there is demonic possession. And this man was demonically possessed. And they walked up to him and said, in the name of Paul, or in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we command you to come out. Because they did it exactly the way Paul did it, in the name of Jesus. However, they lacked something. They were wearing the wrong uniform. That devil looked at them and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know. Why? Because that invoked fear into them. Remember Jesus and the demoniacs. Please do not cast us into hell. It is not our time. They pleaded and begged. They feared Jesus. And guess what? That spirit, or those spirits, because it was a multiple, those spirits invoked such fear. The fear that they put in that man drove him insane. He would tear his clothes, scream at night. He lived in the graveyards. And when people could catch him and they put chains on him, he could break them. That's a man you don't mess with. And he terrorized the entire countryside. So the fear that was in him that was being fueled, whatever it was that triggered it and let that demon in, those demons in, was now controlling the entire region. And yet Jesus walked in, and this thing crawled up to him. What have we to do with you? What did we do? It is not our time to be cast into hell. But at least let us be cast into that herd of pigs. Jesus had no problem with that, being a Jew. It's not because we are to be terrifying. A lot of people get that in their mind. They got to be terrifying in order for the devil to fear them. Listen, the tiniest little frail grandma can have the same power and authority and yield, get the respect from the devil that a nuclear warhead gets from countries around the world. I don't want to mess with you. Fear is evil. If love is good, fear is evil. If it weren't, God would possess it. And he does not possess it. He doesn't have 1 ounce. There's not even a shadow in him. He is pure light. If you were able to stand to look at a light bulb, the only shadow you're going to see is the filament inside. But just imagine light with no shadows. And yet there's a body. That is why we should face it. Not necessarily doing something potentially stupid. While I'm not afraid of bungee jumping, I don't consider it to be exactly one of the wisest things in the world to do. But I'm not afraid to do it. I've jumped off of bridges without a rubber band attached to me. And while I have not jumped out of an airplane, it's just not a desire. But I'm not going to hide behind wisdom says not to. No, that's fear masquerading as wisdom. I just don't want to. Do you want to ride a motor? You know, here, people instantly, as soon as I got my motorcycle and everything, are you going to get yours? They'd ask my wife. Are you going to get yours? She'd say, no. And why? She has no desire. And you know what? I don't want her to. Nothing personal. I happen to like having her ride on the back. It's fun. But not only that, I know she doesn't have the experience and at the age that we are now. Hey, just hang on. Let's enjoy the ride. I grew up on them. So I'm the one who should actually have the fear because I'm the one who has gone over the handlebars, hit trees, jumped a motorcycle, and somewhere the motorcycle kept going. And thank God they didn't have any of that Superman stuff. You know, you ever see that? Motocross where they stretch out on the bike or they just totally let go. Yeah, that wasn't me. That was my brother. But you see, it doesn't matter. The fear did not get brought in because I watched that movie. The fear was already there. The trigger was that one scene in that movie. Because I've watched bunches of vampire movies. I was a vampire movie nut. And I'm not talking about this whole romantic bungo jungo stuff they got going on. I'm talking about vampires people feared. Not wanted to mate with. The only way you're really going to deal with your fear, especially like a fear of the dark, something that there's no way, sitting in the dark is not going to get you over it. Maturity in God will. In everything. Well, Pastor, I'm afraid of dogs. You got bit, didn't you? Probably got bit pretty good. I know a lot of people have been like, I've been bit a bunch of times. I learned to carry my hammer when I was around them because they were intentionally doing it. They'd sneak up behind me and bite me. But I'm not afraid of dogs, which is a good thing because Kyle's got a 100-pound Rottweiler. The thing's a horse. He just wanted to play. But going and sitting down there in front of a Rottweiler is not going to cure you of that fear. But maturity in Christ will. In time. See, maturity is a time process. When they say time heals the wound, it's not time that heals it. It's maturity in Christ. So you will mature and you'll come to realize your part in maybe the dog bite. I've known people. How many of you know you don't grab a dog by its ears? You can ruffle their ears. There's certain dogs you don't touch their ears. They will bite you. And some dogs bite to play. I've been bit by a Rottweiler. She didn't mean to do it. If I hadn't just given blood that day, it wouldn't have hurt. But she had my elbow. She just wanted to play. And when you've got a 100-pound Rottweiler wanting to play, you play. So no matter what fear it is that you've dealt with or dealing with, because like I said, in truth matter is, a lot of us have fears that just pop up and we're like, I didn't realize I was acting like that. That I was afraid. I've never been really afraid to get up in front of people and speak. But there are other things I'm kind of afraid of. I just have to mature through them and trust God through it. I'm not saying that these are fears that control me. Just they're little things that I'm finding pop up and like, where's that at? Because I'm just going to tell you, one of them is not death, just so you know. I still want to live. I'll do everything I can to live. I'm just not afraid to die. I've settled my, as they say, I've made peace with my Maker. But I'm going to do everything I can to live. Because that's the training I received. I was trained to live, not to die. A lot of times people unfortunately get that in the body of Christ and they say, well, I'll just let this thing and I just won't control and I won't deal with it. God gave you freedom to live, not for you to die. Why would he set you free so that you can be held in the bonds of fear of relationships, fear of public speaking? And no, you can't imagine people in their underwear and make it any easier. It just doesn't work. Of course, that's when those nights you have dreams of your own that you're in your underwear speaking. So fear is already something that is in us. It's in the corruptible man. That's why Jesus is making the corruptible incorruptible. When love is mature, you aren't going to fear people. You aren't going to fear, you know, if tomorrow we turned Nazi, because we're all, well. I'm not going to renounce Christ. I'm not going to stop preaching the truth. But so many priests and preachers in Germany and throughout Europe did. They changed their message because somebody told them to and they threatened to kill them. Because they feared death. They feared that man more than they feared God. And that is a fact. Because Hitler knew the only way that he was going to conquer Europe was to get the church on his side. By the way, you want to know how to conquer the United States? Get the church on your side. Do things in the name of religious freedom. Do things like giving grants. Oh, you can have this great daycare. Who wants that headache? Kind of getting off subject, so don't live by fear, but live free from fear. Just start maturing in Christ. And if you are afraid of dogs, well, the next time you got a chihuahua, let it sniff you and then pet it. Step one. Because I'm going to tell you, I had to mature real quick. Because I found out what guard duty was like before sunrise. If you've never been outside before sunrise, it literally is darkest right before the sun comes up. Don't know why, it just is. I got up, I was like, I can see. Half hour later, I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. So, let's stand. Lord God, we thank you and we praise you. Father, that you are love and that there is no fear in you. Father, I pray right now that in each and every one of our hearts that you help us to see and address these issues, things we fear, Father, whether it be of people, whether it be a fear of falling from their expectations, whatever it is. Lord, I pray right now that you help us to mature in your love, to grow in you, and to overcome these fears. Lord, I thank you that you're going with your people tonight. I've set your angels round about them. I give them charge over them, Lord God. I pray blessings in their lives and upon their families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you're dismissed.